Welcome to Making Old Friends, the podcast where four old friends reconnect to discuss life, faith, relationships, and more. I'm Zach.
I'm Michael.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Hannah.
We're back! Yeah! Woo! Making Old Friends, season three. Sorry to anyone who's listening who feels like we just kind of dropped you at the end of season two, but all of us had some crazy stuff happen. Plus, we had the holidays coming up and everything. And we were just like, you know what? We should take some time and sort out our lives so we can give this our full attention. And we did, as much as any of us are capable of sorting out our lives, which is very little.
That's a stretch.
But anyways, yeah. We're back and we're excited to be here. So let's just give a little update about, you know, holidays and stuff and things. Three of the four of us moved since last we recorded an episode, which is wild. Some of us had bigger moves than others. Hodges, why don't you tell us what you guys were up to?
You can't point that off to me. That's yours.
Okay. Tyler, in October, probably the end of October, got like a random job offer in Hawaii, and a job opportunity. And so he interviewed for it and he got the job. And so we, like, spur of the moment decided, hey, let's move to Hawaii. And here we are. We moved to Hawaii in like a month and it was nuts, but we did it and we're here and I can see the ocean and it's gorgeous.
Wild.
It was crazy.
And you both know how to surf now.
Yeah. Well,
that's one way to put it.
We're learning how to surf.
We both know how to fall down.
We're getting there. We're getting better. We've only been doing it for a week so far because we've only been here a couple weeks, but we're learning and it's super fun. So
we have been like six out of the past 8 days, so we're definitely getting our money's worth.
That's awesome. Have you been to the North Shore yet?
Yes.
Those waves are pretty wild.
They're nuts. It's insane. We drove by the North Shore, I should say. There's really good shaved ice here that we went and got. And so we went and got that up near the North Shore. And then we drove by it and it was nuts. It was crazy, but it's gorgeous. It's like one of the prettiest places I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. North Shore was stunning when we were there. You guys are making me miss it so bad.
Well, come on down. We're waiting.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll come visit you at your new house soon. Tell us about your new house.
Yeah. So we also moved, Emily and I. And we moved, actually, it's only about half an hour north of where we were living before, but we moved out of the city into the burbs. So we're nice and, what's the word I'm looking for right now? Middle class, I guess. The middle class millennial life.
There you go.
Yeah, we live in the burbs. It's pretty sweet. It's a nice town. It's a little bit of a bougie town, which is kind of fun. Our house is really, really old, like 1800s old. It's really cool. We don't have light switches. We have literal just like buttons that you push to turn on the light.
Love that.
And our doorbell is like an actual little bell with like a little metal mallet that like hits it when you ring the doorbell. It's really cool.
What? I was hoping you were going to say.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Hoping you were going to say that you have to replace the oil to turn on your lights, but not that far back.
Tell them about your keys for the doors.
They're all skeleton keys. So they're like those big old, like metal keys. And it's a nice town, which is nice because like skeleton keys are not secure at all. Like you can pick them so easily. Like most of the time I just don't lock the door because what the heck is the point? I literally went to get a key replaced at the hardware store and they were like, I was like, this is my key. And they were like, oh yeah, we don't have to cut this for you. You can just use the dummy one. It'll work. So
nice.
That's awesome.
Well, so yeah. It is a pretty safe neighborhood, which I appreciate. I don't feel like I'm going to get robbed if I leave the door unlocked while I go out. Also, because our next door neighbor is, she's always watching. I left my trash cans out for one full day. And then she came to my house and said, did you know trash day was yesterday?
Oh, you don't even need an HOA.
I know. The HOA is just my neighbor.
I love that.
But it is very, I feel the pressure of having to keep up with everything and make all the right neighborhood decisions. But no, it's
you should get a kiddie pool and put it in your front yard.
Yeah. I'm half joking, but it is kind of funny how much people care about where they live. It's most of the time it's a nice thing. Cause like there's no litter or anything and people are like pretty respectful with the noise level and all that stuff. But it is pretty wild. I think I mentioned this before the Hodges just hopped on, but we had, when we moved in, I had an American flag, like in a flag stand off our front porch. It was just there when we moved in. And I was like, whatever about it. Cause like, I think it's a little weird to like fly an American flag outside your house. Cause like, obviously you live in America. Like, I don't really know like what statement you're trying to make with that, but it's not really one that I'm interested in making necessarily. But there's a big windstorm and it fell out of the flag stand. So I set it on the porch, like standing up, like it wasn't like laying on the porch or whatever. But then at some point, one of my neighbors, I don't know which one, came onto my porch and hung it back up in the flag stands. And I was like, all right, message received. We've got flag.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, that's where we live now. It's great. It's definitely God's country.
We have probably 6 feral cats that live outside our house. So any morning or night that I go out, I am sure to be greeted by one of them. Luckily, they're cute looking feral cats. They don't look like they're going to kill me, but that's our neighbors. That and snails. Lots of snails.
We actually haven't met our neighbors yet. And I'm like a little butthurt about it. Which isn't saying, like, I don't know. I guess I could go say hello, but
are they white or are they islanders?
We have both.
Yeah, we have both. I think the people on one side of us are,
they are definitely Hawaiian because they have the Hawaiian flag out front. So
those people? Yeah. Oh, and then the other people, I don't know. I have no idea, to be honest. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I haven't paid attention. I don't know. But I guess we did say hi to one of our neighbors, and that was kind of nice. So my mom's really good at making friends, which I super appreciate. Because if you don't know, my mom and dad and Tyler and I and our children all live in one house together. And like, if you listener, I know you guys know. anyways, we all live in a house together. We're a multi-generational home. And my mom is really good at making friends. So I'm never really worried about it because I'm like, my mom is going to help make friends and it's going to be great. It's really nice because I'm super introverted.
I've lived in this apartment for a year and a half and have never met anybody I share a wall with.
No, like literally one of my sweetest friends that I made in Colorado was because my mom was sitting on the porch one day and this person came walking by. My mom said hi to her. And was like, oh yeah, I have a daughter and she has kids and you guys should totally meet. And then I met her and we became like really good friends. So it's great. Have your mom move in with you.
I'm glad it worked
out for
you. I'm glad
that works for you guys.
Boy. This was the first year that my whole family was together on Christmas Day because my folks came down, all of them.
Well, they went to you.
Yeah, all my brothers and sisters came to us, which was new. They've never done that before.
Your house isn't that big.
Well, so we did have to put a couple of people in the living room, but we have like a half finished basement. So we put my brothers down there and some of my sisters in one room and my other sister in another room. And then mom and dad in Gabe's room, and we just moved him in with us. So we made it work. It wasn't super crammed. We do have a large house, which I'm grateful for. So it worked out. But yeah, it was it was really cool having everybody down there. It felt like kind of like, you know how like there's like your parents and like you're part of your family there with your parents and your siblings, and then you have your own family with like your wife and your kids, or just like me, it's my wife and my kid, and then like you kind of exist in those two different like family relationships, and then for them to come to us instead of us coming to them felt like a cool like generational shift. And that was kind of cool to be like, yeah, my family is like here and they can come to us now, which was fun, and I'm really glad that they did it. It was great.
That's awesome.
I saw the coffee Instagram post from your dad.
Yes.
And I was very excited.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I've watched every single one of those for years now. I don't know why, but I watch every one.
Dude, it's great. You just want to see him do it, man.
But like, I can't start my day without it. And then I woke up whatever morning it was, like the 23rd or 4th, and it's all of you. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, so that. If anybody doesn't know, my dad, for I think he told me it's almost 4 years now, every day has been posting an Instagram story of him just taking his first sip of morning coffee, and then he says, morning, to everybody on Instagram.
It's really the best.
I've been in it twice. Once last year around Christmas time. And then
was this Emily's first time?
I think so. I think it was her first time.
It's almost like become a life goal of me. Like I need to be in the story. What needs to happen for me to be in it?
It's literally one of the coolest things my dad does.
He does.
I feel like we should try to make this happen. Making old friends collabs with Zach's dad.
Morning coffee.
Yeah, we gotta be in person though.
We gotta get my dad on the show first.
That's true. Mr. Wilkerson, if you're listening, come on down.
He does listen sometimes.
One of these days. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Hey.
Season three.
I'm very excited. We thought that we would start off the new season talking about the new year. And specifically, we wanted to talk about New Year's resolutions. But actually, before we get into our main topic, we got a spicy episode of This Week on the Internet. All right, so this article is from a couple days ago. Also, if any of you haven't read the article, I want you to not read it real quick, because I want you to guess which state this news article comes from.
I have specifically not read it
either.
For you.
So, this the headline reads: lawmaker apologizes after apparent try to pants referee. So the story goes that this guy who's in the state house lost his temper at his son's high school basketball game, where he walked out onto the court, yelled at the referee, and then when the referee told him to leave, he apparently tried to pull down the guy's pants.
What? Tried to pull down the referee's pants?
Are we like 5-year-olds here?
Yeah, he tried to pull down the ref's pants. This is a 45-year-old man, by the way.
So that's like doubling down on stupid, I feel like.
Yeah. First you go and yell, you walk out on the court to yell at a ref at your son's
high school game. Which isn't illegal, but it's certainly annoying and lame. Right. Is that like assault of some form?
It says the man pointed a finger at the referee's face and said, "You can't tell me to leave the floor. This is your fault." And then grabs the ref's pants and tugged down on them, says the report. The referee's pants stayed up and he subsequently walked away.
The ref's going to wear suspenders from now on.
Maybe going to give you a little hint as to what state this is from. He apologized on Facebook and wrote that for years he has thought that it is wrong for parents to lose their temper because it is not Christian and it's not mature.
Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was
going for Alabama.
No, Alabama literally would be football. They don't care about basketball.
Yeah. No, Tennessee is all about basketball. No, it is in fact a Republican from Tennessee named, what the heck is this guy's name? Jeremy Faison.
Good job.
Good old Jeremy.
Oh my so God.
He puts a finger in the ref's face and says, "You can't tell me to leave."
Yeah, like leave the court.
Of anybody in the building, he's literally the one guy who can tell you to leave.
He fails to pants him. He didn't even do it right.
Also, like, whose go-to is to pants somebody?
Like a child like, move. Right.
I'm a 45-year-old man. I'm angry. I'm a pants you. I don't understand this.
I feel like punching somebody comes in line like way higher than pantsing somebody,
than
right?
Pantsing them.
Like, did he like, I'm gonna punch him, and then he went, oh, that'll kill my career. I'm just gonna pants him instead. Like,
yeah, but
was that the second option?
But think about that situation. If he did pants him, and like this was well coordinated, and then he just walked out, like the humiliation would have been great.
That's a boss move.
That is quite a move, I gotta say. But
if it doesn't work, because it's really hard to just pants somebody who's wearing like jeans or slacks that are properly fitting and buttoned up. Like, you can't just pull people's pants off.
Yeah. Weirdos.
Yeah, man. I know.
You ever pants somebody?
That's a great question. I feel like I must have. I've been up to a lot of shenanigans, but I can't remember. If I did, it would have been college. Well, I could have been high school.
Or camp.
Too. Yeah.
Definitely could have happened at camp.
Yeah.
One time in summer camp.
Has anybody ever pantsed somebody?
I don't know.
I've
witnessed it. I don't know if I've ever done it.
I feel like this is something that I was going to say boys, but apparently I'm wrong. Men pants people. Like, I don't. That's not even in my arsenal of life. I'm cranky
not since
at you.
High school, really? I guess
it's kind of hitting home because I feel like the first thing I did when I had kids was like my insult to the children was to pants them, and it just gets the best laugh out of them. And so I still do it to this day. And maybe I feel like
they think it's so
in
20 funny.
Years, check back, I might be the guy that you're reading about. So.
I don't know. I don't really know how well pantsing someone works when you're mad at them, but I do know that mooning someone is a very effective technique at winning an argument.
That was pretty popular out the car window in the 2000s.
Yeah.
I don't
think even to this day, if you're having an intense argument with someone and then you moon them, it just takes all the wind out of their sails right away.
And you know this from experience.
That sounded like experience there.
I can vouch for it. I can vouch for it from the being the mooned party because I've experienced this. Maybe
you
from you actually. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Okay, now I'm curious. What is like when you're angry at somebody, or like if you were in that situation, what is your go-to? Like
with the referee, or like just in any angry situation?
Like specifically if you were angry with a referee. Like for me, I have a tendency when I get angry, I just cry. So like I wouldn't have done anything. I would have just been like, ah, and then I would have cried and left because that's what I do when I'm angry.
Okay. He was a parent. The go-to for any parent on the sideline should be, you just shut your mouth and deal with it. You don't get a say.
This is true.
You can hate it all you want. You can even, I mean, in high school, you can't really yell at the ref, I guess. It's kind of lame. But, like, you don't stop the game to confront him.
Which is worse, to be the kid of a parent who yells at a ref or the kid of a parent who pants the ref?
What about both?
All of the above.
Let's get into our main topic for tonight. So we're talking New Year's resolutions. So earlier today, I almost said I did some research, but what I did was like 5 minutes of Googling. So what I found out was that apparently about half of all New Year's resolutions get broken by the end of January.
That's so it?
About 1 month.
I'd like to believe it's a lot more than that. Those are the people that are reporting, so they're extra into it.
That's true. I don't know, Tyler. These were very scientific studies.
Yes, I believe it.
They were the top four search results on Google.
Tyler's like, your research is faulty.
You didn't even gather more than 15 sources.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably accurate. I think it's probably more than that, and people are embarrassed, so they don't want to admit it.
They're just like, oh, I didn't have any in the first place to break.
Yeah, because I think 100% of my New Year's resolutions in every single year have been broken, so I'm certainly adding to that.
By the end of January, though, or do you think you held on a little bit longer than that?
Oh, no, way before January, like the first week, if that. Maybe like 3 days. 3 days is probably how long each one goes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
I'm drinking a Coke on the sixth day. I made it like, about three to the third, I think.
Like, how long does my memory last? That's how long.
You got to write them down. Do you guys not write down your resolution?
No, maybe.
Well, no, I do. I stick to it until the withdrawal kicks in. And then it's like, yeah, it's not a battle worth fighting.
Yeah, mine's just like consistency. Like, if I do it for like, I don't know. Obviously, it depends on what the resolution is. But say it's like something I want to do every day. So like, if I do it for like 5 days and then I miss one, I'm like way less motivated to get back on the train. And at that point, I'll just let it go.
I think what?
So,
but if you do it for 30 days and miss one, it's like, ah, well.
Right. It's not that big of a deal. It's still like the vast majority of the days you've been doing the thing.
See, what I like to do is, like, the only times I've ever made a resolution, I always make it, like, a month before. So, like, December 1st is when I usually start. So, then when you break it on January 3rd, you've actually made it the full month, you know. And I think I did actually...
I just break it December 3rd.
Yeah, that works, too. But this is why you got to make New Year's resolutions that are really hard to fail at. Like, just really easy ones. Like, I'm going to leave the toilet or I'm going to put the toilet seat down, right? Or I'm going to take out the trash the night before instead of the morning of. That's what I'm going with this year. So. Spoiler alert.
I have to take out the trash the night before or else my neighbors will get upset at me, as we already determined.
There you go.
Well, it's called
accountability. Did you make any resolutions last year? But it sounds like some of you have already made resolutions this year and subsequently broken them. And as of the time of recording, it is January 6th. So
we're not doing so hot, y'all.
I specifically didn't make any that I labeled as a resolution. Last year, I made one. And it was very generic and like open-ended. It was just to like, the goal was like, be in a healthier position by the end of the year than I am at the start of the year. There was no like set number weight to lose or set whatever to achieve. It was just like be better. And I did achieve that. I am better. How much? Yeah, it doesn't matter, but it is a move in the right direction. So
there you
go. Can't say I failed.
What about
this year has the same goal.
Tyler?
Oh, I didn't hear you.
What about you? Did you have any New Year's resolutions last year?
No, I didn't. I don't think I can't think of a time I've ever distinctly made a New Year's resolution. Like I said, I usually start thinking about it like December 1st, and then I'll start doing something, and then it goes away. I think the longest I ever lasted with like any kind of resolution was like maybe 7 months working out 3 days a week. And that was 2018.
That's impressive.
Like I said, I started a month before, so it doesn't really count.
Mr. Wilkerson.
That's still pretty good. Let's see. I don't typically make New Year's resolutions only because I don't like doing things that I'm bad at, and I'm really bad at keeping resolutions. So I avoid the frustration by just not making them in the first place.
Can't fail if you don't start.
There's no way for me to lose. Yep. That's exactly it. For better
I'll definitely consistently, like, I think at least the past 5 years, we'll do, I don't know if you'd call it a resolution, but typically this is the time of year where it's like, all right, let's look at all of our finances. Let's look at our, you know, how we shop for groceries, what we're eating, and just kind of review everything, and then make adjustments. So I don't know if that's necessarily like a New Year resolution, but it's definitely like, we're setting a new budget for the year. We're setting a new meal plan. We're figuring out, you know, healthier options kind of thing. So,
yeah,
it's kind of a resolution because you still want to stick to it, but it's not like I'm going to run a marathon by the end of the year.
Yeah. So I think that's an interesting thing that kind of like, is there a difference perhaps between like a certain kind of, between one resolution or goal and another? Because like, it's definitely one thing to be like, I'm going to run a half marathon this year. And it's another thing to be like, this time next year, I want to be healthier than I am now. Like, because I think like a lot of people, a lot of the reasons why people's resolutions fail, I think, and this could be wrong, I don't know, but I think people make like, either they aim too big or they aim too specific. Where it's like, I'm going to do X thing instead of like, no, I want to be this kind of person. You know what I mean? Because it's, I just feel like it's a lot easier to make sustainable change if you're aiming towards like the kind of person you want to be or the kind of thing that you want to value instead of like, I'm going to like hit this specific benchmark. I don't know.
I agree.
Maybe that's just me.
I had this epiphany last year where like I thought resolutions are totally overrated and unattainable. And so I wrote a list. Yes, I have a list for you of the things last year that I was like New Year's resolutions, but like not. And I'm actually irritated at how basic they are to the point that I'm not sure I want to share them with you.
But you teed us up before we spoke.
I will.
It's okay. There's you know, it's judgment free zone.
This is a thing because I do agree with you. I don't think that like if you're like, I mean, some people are great at keeping to stuff like that, but for me, I'm not. I'm more like, I don't want to say I am better at like, I want to like manifest things because that's not quite the vibe I'm going for. But
woo-wee.
Getting wooey. But like, I definitely think that like when you're working towards like an overall like, like this is just more kind of the person that I want to be, I think that that's more attainable. So Hannah's 2021 resolutions, but not resolutions. Don't laugh too hard, okay? Because I'm already irritated.
Oh, this is
number
great.
One. Stop waiting for permission. That was my first one, guys. What does that even mean? I don't know.
You don't know? Didn't you read it? What
I
did.
Did
it mean at the time?
I don't know.
Speed through.
That's
red
the
lights.
Thing. Like, right? I don't know.
Take no from any man or machine.
Number two. Accomplish the things you set out to accomplish. Did I
things?
Write down what the things were? Wow. No, I don't know.
Well, then I guess
did you stop
taking
no from people or whatever. Stop waiting on people
without
for permission.
Other
isn't
ones.
That just sort of like, isn't that just kind of a New Year's resolution that says like, do this resolution?
That's like the definition
no
of
idea.
A New Year's resolution.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Let things go that no longer serve their purpose. Become more confident in being. Give more and serve more. Okay, you get the vibe.
No, some of these are great though.
Are like, you more confident in being?
No, guys, 2021 was the worst year of my life.
Oh, man.
It was garbage.
like, but on the other side of it, are you more confident in who you are?
Maybe, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not with you like day in and day out, but I think that probably.
Probably.
Absolutely. I think so.
Maybe. I did grow a lot last year, but like, just some of these guys, I was just like, Hannah, like what? What was I smoking? No, I don't, by the way.
You lived in Colorado, so I did. I don't know.
Peyote.
I oh my gosh. Some of these guys. So this year I just didn't make resolutions because I was like, well, last year didn't turn out so well. So
here's the thing. If you don't make resolutions, you set the bar low. You can't ever disappoint yourself, right?
Expect this disappointment is not the attitude, and you'll guys. Never be disappointed.
No, and that's kind of okay. So I think there are plenty of New Year's resolutions that are kind of dumb because you're setting yourself up for failure. I think a lot of people make like goals that are just not realistic, especially starting from like zero and trying to go to 100. Like if I set a goal right now to work out 3 days a week, zero chance of that happening. Because I don't work out at all. So, like, it's not, I'm not going to get there, you know, like right off the bat.
I'm like just your not honesty. Going to.
Yeah. But
the goal
I do
should
think
be
that,
to work
like,
out once.
Yeah. But I do think that, like, it's healthy to set goals to improve yourself and just become closer to the sort of person that you want to be. Like, Hannah, when you said, what was that one? Letting go of things that no longer have value. Is that what it was?
That no longer, yeah. Let go of things that no longer serve their purpose.
Okay, yeah.
Which I do agree with.
Right. I think that that's actually like a super healthy resolution.
Yeah.
To be able to say like, okay, so at the end of this year, I want to take a look at my life and have gotten rid or let go of the things that are not useful or helpful to me.
Yeah.
Because if I don't make that resolution, I will hang on to things that are unhealthy and unhelpful. Like, just as a natural, like, I'm driven by inertia. I like the way that things are. You know, it's simpler to keep things the way they are than to change, even if it's not as healthy. So, I don't know. I think the sort of New Year's resolutions that I would like to make would be ones that are a little bit harder to measure, I guess, for anyone except myself. I don't know if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. That's a good... There's our quote, guys, for the week. That totally makes sense. That's... No, literally for me, like, if I look at last year, the only thing that I can, like, measure for me that I accomplished was I grew. Which isn't comfortable all the time, but I did it, right?
If like, you grow every year, that's a net gain on life
exactly.
annually.
So this year, I guess if we're thinking about it, that's like a pretty vague statement, but like, I want to grow. And I think that there's nothing wrong with making more attainable goals like that, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah, I think the question is like, how do you decide what you want to grow into? You know?
Mm.
Like, there's a lot of... I guess there's a lot of different people I could become. How do I determine what is a better person than I was a year ago?
I think for me, I like to choose the things that I'm like... I like about myself. So like... I know that I'm like empathetic or I like to be joyful or whatever. I like to choose things that I like about me and I'm like, I'm going to do more of that, you know, or I'm going to lean into that. That's how I choose kind of what direction or like that's what guides me as I grow, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does for sure.
Also, going to therapy helps.
Hmm.
Because therapists are good at helping you, like, you know?
Yeah. What are you...
It's the Making Old Friends theme again. Go to therapy.
Yeah.
I think, like, I mean, even kind of like growing as a person, or what some of Hannah's things said, when you set things that are more, I don't know if the word open-ended like would be appropriate, but, you know, letting go of things that don't serve their purpose, you know, that's kind of a generic statement. You're much more likely to succeed in, you know, accomplishing what you set out to at the beginning of the year. Even like me was like, be in better health at the end of the year. It's an easier goal to obtain when it's like, and there's a million different things you can do that are steps towards that, right? It's not specifically go to the gym 3 times a week, because then if you forget, you've derailed your whole resolution. But if it's to be healthy, you can get over not working out that week, right? It doesn't derail your overall goal. You're still progressing towards the end result.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, like, is there any merit to creating measurable goals? Like, I guess, like, external measurements. Because I can look at my life and be like, yes, I'm healthier this year, or I'm more empathetic this year, or whatever. But, like, is it useful at all to say, this is my, like, empirical, measurable goal? Or is that just, and I guess if it's not, is it just useless, or is it potentially, like, hurtful to actual change?
I think a measurable goal is helpful as long as you give yourself, like, so if you say, I want to lose 10 pounds by something, or I want to gain X pounds of muscle by this date, what you usually find is that if you don't make changes to your routine, you're not going to do the steps necessary for that. So, like, your goal has to be, so for instance, like when I said I was going to work out 3 times a week, it's not like I have like a number of days that I have to work out per week. Whereas if you're like, I'm going to lose 10 pounds by this time, that's an open-ended kind of goal, even though it is, it's precise in the fact that you want to lose 10 pounds. It's like the solution is very open-ended. And I think that's a little harder to keep because, you know, I don't know. That's what I think, but.
Yeah.
I feel like it depends on the person. Cause like there's some people who do super, super well with, they need to say, I'm going to work out 3 days a week for this year, blah, blah, blah. Like that's really helpful for them to be able to make that structure. But therefore I think it's a healthy thing. But like for me, I end up just getting really defeated and super irritated with myself because I said I was going to do something and then I didn't do it. And I don't think that that's healthy. So I think overall people just need to make whatever goals in whatever structure that's attainable for them.
To take a term from the business world, SMART goals. I don't think it's just business, but that's where it comes up in my life. But SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. So like setting your goals to be specific. What do you want to do? Lose 10 pounds. Measurable. How do you know when you've reached it? Well, you'll have lost 10 pounds. Achievable. Is it in your power to accomplish it? Like before you even set the goal, evaluate if it's even possible, right? And then realistic. So like, is it in your power to achieve it? Yeah, I can lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks, technically. But then is it realistic? Like, are you actually going to be able to do that? Or, you know, if you need to lose 10 pounds in 2 months, you're going to have to go to the gym 3 times a week. Can you? Like, are you realistically going to go to the gym 3 times a week? And then timely, when do you want to accomplish it? And, you know, a month or whatever. And I think where people really miss with New Year's resolutions is they'll set specific goals. They'll set measurable goals. They'll even probably set achievable goals, but they really miss out on realistic. I think people get excited at the start of a new year and say, I'm going to lose 50 pounds or I'm going to run a half marathon on Thanksgiving next year. And then you know, when you're kind of on the high of excitement that it's a possibility, you're not really thinking about all of the grueling work that's going to have to go into it. And, you know, oh, running a half marathon is like, what is that, 13 miles or something? Or 8 miles? Like, that's a lot. You can't just, like, go do it. You have to be preparing for that. And if you're not, you know, in decent running condition by June, it's not going to happen. So people miss out on the realistic part. They see how hard it's actually going to be, and then it falls apart by the end of January, right? Like, I can't actually run at the gym 6 days a week. I'm not going to be able to do this, and they give up.
I've heard people recommend that you, instead of setting like along the lines of reasonable things, like set a goal rather than working out 3 times a week. You set a goal to do 10 push-ups 3 times a week, and you start there. And then you find that when you do that, it's easy. You can pop down and do, you know, a few push-ups, sit-ups, whatever you're doing, really quick. And then what you'll find is that you've made, it's from the Atomic Habits book, but it's essentially that you've made a very small, easy, achievable habit by that point. And now because you've made it part of your routine, you can increase it. You can do a little bit more next time. And you've been doing the easy one for so long that now you build on top of it, and it's already, you know, it's an established routine. It's kind of like what Zach said. You don't go 0 to 100. You start at 0 to 1 and then 2. And it's going to take longer. It's not going to be as fast, but at the end of the day, you're going to do it and you're going to keep doing it. So.
Yeah. And I think like a thing that's really important, because I agree, those are much easier to attain. But I think the thing that really throws a lot of people, and I'm including myself in this, is I think a lot of my like models or people that I'm like looking at as inspiration are so far ahead of where I want to be or me, that I'm looking at that as like my goal for myself. But the fact is that most of those people have been cultivating small patterns like that over years, a lot of times, that build up into those big patterns that they're able to maintain because they're used to it. And that's kind of like whatever it is. Like for me, a huge one is like scripture reading and scripture memorization. Like I always want to do those things and feel like I should, and I feel great when I do it a lot of the time, but I'm never able to maintain a steady pattern of it. And I think it's because I set out to be like, I'm going to memorize Philippians, which is like insane.
Because
I haven't memorized anything in like 3 or 4 years at this point. So like, I see people who can do that. And then I'm like, it is possible for a person to do this. So that's what I'm going to chase after. But like that person's been, you know, they started with 3 verses at a time. And I don't see that. I just see the end result. So I automatically chase after that end result, which is not attainable for me at this time.
I do this a lot. And I think sometimes I wonder, like, why are we the way that we are? Like,
why are we how he is?
Why? Okay, so like, Tyler and I started surfing literally a week ago. And yesterday, I think it was, I was like frustrated because I only caught one wave and like stood up on one wave yesterday. And the day before, I had caught 3 waves and I stood up on 3 waves. And Tyler was like, Hannah, you've literally been doing this for a week. And I'm like, I literally said, I don't know why I'm not stinking Bethany Hamilton yet. Like, well, like why? But like, why? I'm just curious, like, why are we? Obviously, I was kidding. And like, I don't expect myself to be at a professional level in a week at all. And he was right by pointing out, like, you've been doing this for a week. So like, obviously, but why are we so hard on ourselves? Like, why do we just expect perfection instantly?
Not all of us do.
Okay. Well, good for you, Michael.
I was going to say, I think a lot of people don't.
Because I was going to say for me. Okay. So yes, I've already had those days where I've especially, so she had the three waves that she had caught that one day. I had nothing. I had not stood up a single time. But for me, when I started surfing, I didn't have an end goal in my mind. I went into it thinking, if I could just ride a wave, that'd be cool on my stomach or fall off. Either way, it's going to be fun. And so I started with no end goal. I started with like just kind of just doing the thing. So I think like what Zach was saying is like when he was talking about going into it with like, well, I want to memorize all of Philippians. That's your end goal. That's what you want to be. But like what you should be when you're setting resolutions or you're setting goals and stuff, you're thinking about what is the step to get there. It's a lot less exciting, and that's not really what's going to get you motivated, but it's the practical thing. And I think too many of us skip that. And I think for most people, I think I've heard a statistic. I'm not going to try to quote it, but I think it was like most resolutions are fitness related, whether it's losing weight or getting in shape. And it's I would like to think that it's probably because people see people that they want to look like or be like, or they just feel uncomfortable with their body, and so they're like, well, this is where I want to be. And then they go for that and it doesn't work and they get disappointed and they stop. You know, but I think it's really just breaking it down and making it practical. And like for me, when I did that three days a week for, you know, 7 months or whatever, I wasn't working out a lot. I was only doing like, I started with like 15 minutes because that's all. I was like, oh, I can do 15 minutes easy. Like, you know, I'll sit there and stare at a wall for 15 minutes sometimes during the day, you know? So it's like, again, just making it super achievable because you can always build on later. But yeah, I don't know.
I think another reason so many of them are fitness related is it's a whole different factor specifically to New Year's resolutions, but it's right on the tails of Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all these eating holidays. And people are coming in, you've probably gained 5 pounds over the last couple months just because like people do. And if you didn't gain weight, you probably, good chance you don't like feel great about yourself and all the cookies you had or whatever, right? So like I think it's a pretty natural progression to be like, all right, I feasted, and on Thanksgiving you're like, I'll get in shape after Christmas, or I'll get back to it after Christmas. And then New Year's comes around, you're like, all right, it's time. it's time to burn this off. Let's go. It's a new year, new me. Let's go. And then you get 3 days in, you're like, man, running sucks. Like, and yeah, you quit. And then you just go a whole year, and eventually summer comes around, and you know, I don't think people are constantly getting less healthy. Most people sustain most of the time. But
I have heard of somebody, this was in relation to a different type of learning. Somebody was trying to learn how to do 3D modeling. And so they were talking about how they were going to learn it. And this guy he has a following on YouTube. And so what he did was he did a lot of research on like this exact topic and like how to actually achieve his goals. And he realized that most of the time, the only time people actually achieve something is when there's like a detrimental, like a consequence if they don't achieve it. So what you do, or what he did in his case, was he said to his nephew, if I don't, he made it like a quantitative goal too. He said, if I post, my goal is to post a picture of this art that I created and get 100 likes or something like that. And he said, if I don't achieve that in 6 months, then I'm going to pay you $3,000. And for him, it was enough money that it was going to hurt him. It wasn't going to be comfortable, but it wasn't too much that it was like, obviously, you know, it's not like $1 million, which you don't have or something, right? But then 6 months later, he made it in 3 months because it was like, mm-hmm. Oh crap, like I'm about to lose this money because my nephew, who's 6 years old, or whatever he was, 8 years old, is not gonna let me let that go. Like, he's gonna remember that. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know if that's an actually practical thing to do, but something like that, right?
Yeah.
setting.
I actually just worked through the exact scenario with my therapist last time I talked to him. Of like, I was like, I feel like personally I'm motivated by punishment more than reward, right? Like, to have, you know, you can tell me I'll get $1,000 if I lose 20 pounds, and I will be less motivated than if you right. told me I was going to end up on diabetes medication, yeah, right?
Exactly.
If yeah. I'm going to end up on insulin. Oh, insulin, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Like, I'll figure it out, yeah. right? So, and he's like, that's just a lot of people are, because negatives are way more frightening, right? You can fathom how much an inconvenience is going to be compared to, you know, your reward. Your reward you don't have, so your life right now won't actually be affected if you don't mm-hmm. get it. But something that takes away from your life, it's devastating. Mm-hmm. So I actually did that with this past fall. It was like set goals of, I did the same thing. It was money. It was just a few $100 to my wife. It was like, I have this event I'm going to attend. It's $200. If I don't achieve this, or for every time I break X or whatever, you get $20 of it. Eventually, the quality of my event's going to get worse and worse and less fun because I'm going to have less money to go. And then eventually, I can't go at all. And guess what? It worked like a charm because you want to be able to do, and you don't want to miss out on things. So FOMO is more motivating than rewards.
Yep.
I mean, I think that you can actually see that in action. Yeah, like during election cycles too, right? Because like nobody ever, literally, like if you look at like campaign ads or whatever, they're all just about how terrible your life is going to be with somebody else in charge. It's never actually about like all the good things that someone's going to do, because people are more motivated by fear or by punishment than they are by hope or by rewarding. For better or for worse. I guess if you can game the system, it works out for you, you know?
That's why Squid Game was so motivating. They've pretty tried really hard.
That's true.
All right, why do people make New Year's resolutions?
Zach? Wait, what? Sorry.
Why do people make New Year's resolutions?
Why? I don't know.
Why is it a January thing?
Because it's just after the holidays and it's a new year.
I think it's just literally.
It's a fresh page.
Is it a trend at this point? Is it more of a trend than an actual, like it kind of makes sense in some parts because, you know, financially and stuff, it's a reset, but I think it's more of a trend than an actual, like, needed time of year.
Yeah, but I also think for a lot of, like, occupations or just, like, rhythms of life, January is pretty slow. Like, it's winter in the Northern Hemisphere. Like, it's quiet in a lot of places. Like, it's an easy time to have the space to reflect on what you want to do or become. So I think it's just like a placement in the seasons thing as well. Plus, yeah, it's just an easy place to measure like a new calendar year, you know? Simple, I guess. Yeah. Do any of you guys have any you can call them resolutions, you can call them goals, whatever, but do you have anything set in mind that you want to do this year?
Yeah, I'm not going to put a number on it, but surf. I'm going to learn to surf. That's the only one I want to go for. So
if I can make the same progress this year that I did last year, like, again, if it's any net gain, right, it's a win. So I don't have a number for it. I don't have a set specific goal. But if at the end of this year it's like, you know what, I'm healthier physically and mentally than last year, then I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Hannah,
you got anything? It's okay if you don't.
Well, I originally was like, I don't really want to set goals this year. Not genuine, like, it was a little bit out of spite of like, well, last year was kind of tough, so I don't really want to, but I also don't like that attitude, so I'm not a quitter, guys. I think this year true. I just want to okay, Michael, Watch yourself. Anyways, I think this year I just want to keep growing and like progressing and moving forward in the things that are important to me. Parenting, you know, stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think the only thing that I really thought of is that I would like to be involved in church again in a healthy way. I've just been attending our church since we started going to a new church. I haven't done anything in terms of volunteering or whatever. And part of that was just because like by the end of my employment at our last church, I was just so burned out because of toxicity and things that had happened in my life and in the church that I just was not. I mean, I think honestly, if you go back and listen to like some of our first podcast episodes, you can really hear a lot of the cynicism and stuff that was built into that. Which I learned a lot of important lessons from that. And I am a lot more critical and, I don't know, like passionate about doing it correctly. But I am in a much healthier place and I would like to maintain my current level of mental and spiritual health, but also be more involved in the church and in spiritual things that I care about.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Making Old Friends. Our intro music is by Scott Holmes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Making Old Friends, and you can also get in touch at makingoldfriends@gmail.com. Until next time,